IVM.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. After a week off, I'm your host this week again, Ashwin, and I'm joined by Varun. DJ is currently enjoying actually being at the IPL. So, Varun, it sounds like he was at the Rajasthan game this morning, right? It sounds like he's just in Mumbai, living that stadium life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's quite special to watch an IPL game. You and I still haven't done that, and I think he's done a few already. So, good for him. And I think he was part of the Rajasthan Royals camp as well. So, overall, must have been quite fun to watch it in their colors and their box. So, that would have been fun.
Yeah, but pretty unbelievable experience, and also unbelievable that we haven't seen an IPL game in person yet, despite how much we watch and follow. Varun, to use the Ravi Shastri or commentator cliche, it is the business end of the tournament. We are down to the many sides have just the one game remaining. A couple of sides have two remaining. Let's quickly run through the points table. Very, very exciting. You know, at the bottom end, you have the Mumbai Indians and CSK, who are eliminated mathematically, of course. You then have the Sunrisers Hyderabad, who looked like they were sitting pretty for a while. Of course, they have two games in hand. Then Punjab Kings. So, and then at the top, you have the Gujarat Titans, who are qualified and through. And then this crazy battle, basically from second through, call it seventh place, where still mathematically, really any of the teams can qualify. Rajasthan has 16, so they look good. Lucknow have 16, so they look good. But Bangalore can get to 16. Delhi can get to 16. KKR can get to 14. And then Punjab could get to 16. So it's unbelievable. Like, what? It's just a phenomenal mid-table clash, right?
Yeah, it's and I don't know how this always happens. I mean, we've got our own theories and we fight about this, but you're approaching the last seven games now, okay, because we're recording this on a Monday, and only one team is qualified. So obviously, like you've run through, the possibilities are immense right now. I thought Chennai and Mumbai would have figured out their combinations and would have pulled up their socks by now, but that didn't happen. However, remember that they have three games left between the two teams, and they are definitely going to spoil the party for someone. And it is most definitely going to be the Delhi Capitals.
Because it's our last game
against Mumbai. So here's how it's going to go, right? Delhi is going to beat Punjab today. Going to be sitting at 14 at a good run rate. It's going to come down to Delhi has done so well that they don't need to worry about NRR. They just need to win the game. And Delhi is going to lose that game.
And Mumbai's Rohit's going to come and make a big century.
We know exactly how this is going to play out. But no, jokes apart, I think the best way for me to summarize that mid-table clash from 4 to 8 is probably lack of consistency. Like, nobody is winning games on the trot. Sunrisers won 5 on the trot, and then they've lost 7, right, between those in that middle period. Punjab, Delhi are just pretty much win one, lose one. There's been no momentum, there's been no form, there's been no dominance by any one player. If you look at man of the match performances across these middle teams, I guarantee you, apart from maybe a Russell, every game they've played has had a different man of the match. So it's been a very, very interesting mid-table this time. And knowing the IPL, you're probably going to be waiting till next Saturday to know which are the top four teams.
Unbelievable and really well said. So with that, though, we're going to start running through our week as we have done before. Varun, the last time you and DJ recorded was the end of Saturday, so we have a lot of games to cover this time. But 10 games. We will start on Sunday, May 8th with the early game. And we'll just run down. We'll do 5 and take a quick break. RCB versus the Sunrisers Hyderabad. This was at the Wankhede. I mean, you know, RCB batted first, put on almost 200. Faf looked good. Rajat looked good. Two things to talk about, right? Kohli made another first ball duck. Just another one. This time, first ball of the match to Jagdish Suchit. And Manindu Hasaranga managed to spin a web around the Sunrisers, getting them all out for 125 and taking 5 for 18 in four overs. So, any thoughts on those two?
No thoughts. It's just, Kohli is just, it's so frustrating. It's so disappointing because, you know, nobody should be getting out like this consistently. And then when you think of Virat Kohli, I was reading somewhere, look, I don't know exact numbers, but I think Kohli hit 973 runs in one IPL season, okay? Everyone thought just Jos Buttler's going to beat him. Buttler's probably around the 500 mark right now. There's no way he's going to reach there. It shows you the brilliance of that man, and it also shows you how he's fallen. So he said this as well. He said, now I've seen everything in this game. Everything this game has to offer. Just have to hope that he gets out of it, man. That's all. But yes, I want to say kudos to Faf, man. Like, somehow, when the team needs him the most, he just steps up and bats through the innings. He batted 20 overs again this time. And the only thing to call out is Karthik. I mean, Karthik came in and hit 30 off 8 balls. Strike rate of 375. Virat Kohli was like bowing to him.
He's loving this, yeah.
He's loving it so much. Look, there was one line that Faf said that put it into context for me. Faf said, I was considering retiring out to get DK in. And that's it. Wow. That line sums it up. Yeah. So that was fantastic. And then Sunrisers just kind of crumbled, man. They're just this team that either wins convincingly or loses very unconvincingly. That's it. There's no middle ground with them.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that RCB win put them very seriously into contention for a playoff spot. And then it's been a while since they played, they played Friday, and then since then they haven't played. But we'll keep going. Last Sunday, the second game, a little painful to relive as always, CSK versus the Delhi Capitals. Like you said, right, CSK, not a lot to lose. Brought in Devin Conway to open, brought back Moeen Ali, brought back Dwayne Bravo. And they're obviously playing around with their 11 right now and planning for next year. But unbelievable, 110-run opening partnership. Ruthu made it 41. Devin Conway, 87 off 49. None of the Delhi bowlers really looked on song. Let maybe give credit to Khalil, who picked up 2 for 28. And then just the batsman didn't come good, right? Moeen Ali took 3 for 13. When you need to go at over 10 runs and over, to go 3 for 13 to an off-spinner, it's just unbelievable. So not a lot to write home about for the Delhi team, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're chasing 200 plus, it's always going to be hard. The Delhi batting lineup has not performed up to expectation. Shaw is missing. I think Mandeep Singh has opened. Shrikar Bharat has opened. Shaw has opened. And if I'm not mistaken, maybe somebody else too. So you've just not got that consistency. And I don't know what it is about CSK and their openers, man. Especially left-handed overseas openers, from Hayden to Hussey to Conway now. Something happens. But overall, great performance. Delhi was just kind of chasing their tail in this one. And you mentioned Moeen Ali. I think Moeen has not done anything with the bat, but 4 for 13 in a game where everyone else has gone at about 9 or 10 runs and over is just phenomenal. That was game-changing.
Yeah, absolutely. So disappointing result for Delhi. I think a win would have really helped. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I know, and I was going to say, last week, DJ and I talked about how Delhi's always had close losses, and that's helped the NRR. I think with this loss, they went from plus 0.7 to plus 0.1 or something like that.
It really
did. So it erased the entire net run rate advantage.
Yeah, very, very disappointing. Very frustrating. But still a little bit of time, a little bit of hope. Delhi has 2 games. Again, the weirdness of how we record is, by the time people are listening, our listeners will know if Delhi beat Punjab or not. But that's the fun of podcast recording. Right, Varun, talk about teams wanting to play spoil sport. Mumbai Indians versus KKR. KKR at this point looks reasonable. And, you know, they've had a bad run of matches, but they have an opportunity to try to still make the playoffs. And they come out to bat, make 165. So we talked about Wanindu's 5-4. Then we talked about Moeen's 4-4. And so this is clearly the season of the bowlers, because again, we had a 5-4 in this game. This was yet another one of the matches where a player from the losing team with a 5-4 got man of the match. And of course, I'm talking about Jasprit Bumrah. We don't see him get a lot of wickets in the IPL, only because teams are respecting him and defending him out. But gosh, KKR made 165 for 9, of which Bumrah took 5 for 10. 4 overs, 5 for 10. Talk about a magnificent spell. And then Ishan Kishan made a 50, but nobody else from Mumbai came good. Rohit Sharma again seems to be following Virat's footsteps, made 2 of 6. No Mumbai batsman came good. And they ended up, despite restricting KKR to 165, losing by 52 runs. But just with Bumrah 5-4, right? That's all there was.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of feel like when somebody puts in that much of a magical spell, everyone around the team needs to rally to win it just for that guy. So for Mumbai Indians to lose this match by 52 runs or KKR to win it by 52 runs, rather, is just unacceptable, man. It's just not on. Like, everyone was talking about Bumrah and how he's out of form, and the guy comes back and does that. I was watching it live. Phenomenal performance. But I don't know. I don't know what to say about Mumbai Indians anymore. They're just, they feel like the team that's just pretty much going to get ready for next season. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, at least you felt like CSK playing Delhi was ready to show up strong. And to your point, Mumbai just hasn't. But also now we know they're probably going to show up big in the final match of the group stage, like we said. Right. From there, we actually moved to the table toppers, or the two teams that were top of the table at this point. And of course, I'm talking about the Gujarat Titans, who are undisputed top of the table, versus the Lucknow Super Giants. And this was one of the really poor performances from the Lucknow team. So Gujarat actually batted first, put on 144. Shubman finally made some runs, made 63. But he made 63 of 49 despite looking pretty good, which was a very clear indication of how difficult it was to bat on this surface in Pune. And obviously, we've seen that across the board largely, right? As the pitches have, as the surfaces have gotten older and older, with all the 70 games being played at three grounds, of course, you expect that a little. And then in chasing only 145, the Lucknow team gets all out for just 82. So nothing, three players got into double digit scores. Everybody else made single digits. And yeah, Rashid Khan, 4 for 24. Yash Dayal, 2 for 24, and Sai Kishore, 2 for 7. So good figures all around, but 82 all out. You don't, like, yeah, just not what you expect from the team that is sitting pretty in second spot on the table, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You didn't expect this at all, especially in a must-win game for Lucknow. Gautam Gambhir, actually, in the post-match dressing room speech, said, it's okay to lose, it's not okay to give up. And he said it straight up to them, I think you guys gave up today. So I was quite impressed with Gambhir in that perspective, because honestly, like, we watch Ponting's videos and stuff, it's just about, you're so great and you're so this, and I don't know if that's really the true Ponting, but Gautam Gambhir stood up and said, you guys gave up. So I was glad he did that, because, you know, it's very important to do that at this specific time in the tournament. They're pretty much going to qualify, I would say, right? Because 16 points is where most teams are aspiring to reach. Lucknow is already sitting there. So they probably need that little bit of a kick up their backside to get ready. The interesting thing with both these teams, though, is that their middle orders have done well in the past, specifically Gujarat. In the last 5 to 7 games, I can't remember Hardik Pandya, Miller or Tevatiya doing anything. And that is a problem, because remember, we've discussed on the podcast previously, a long tournament is won by your number 4, 5, 6, most likely. So if these guys don't come good, Gujarat will have something to worry about. But in the meantime, it's Lucknow who needs to figure out their batting lineup, because it's just too heavily dependent on Rahul and Dickock.
I saw an interesting stat, since you mentioned Gujarat, that I think 10, or maybe this is wrong, but majority of the years, the IPL is actually won by the team that plays second in the playoff table, not the team that topped the table. And that's interesting, right? As you think about being Gujarat sitting here with 20 points, 4 points ahead of anybody else right now. Does that mean there's added pressure? Does that mean, you know, they've peaked too early? There's lots of different theories on why this happens in big tournaments, but it'll be interesting for Hardik to see if he can take his boys home.
Yeah, everyone knows about this peaking too early thing. That's why that's why a lot of the teams that are probably number 5, 6, 7 right now still will give themselves a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. We're going to cover one more and then we'll take a quick break, Varun. But Delhi played Rajasthan. This, again, very interesting. Right? Both teams really fighting for that playoff spot. Rajasthan has obviously since gotten into second place on the table. But Delhi-Rajasthan was a very critical game for the Delhi team. And Delhi announces to restrict Rajasthan to 160. First big thing, I did not pick Jos Puttler in my fantasy team and he failed. So it was, you know, selfishly very excited to see that, because a lot of people had captained him. And, you know, the only thing to talk about in the Rajasthan innings for me first is why does Ravi Ashwin still come in at 3? And more than that, why did he make a 50 against the Delhi Capitals? Like, Delhi managed to get Zakaria bowled 2 for 23, Mitchell Marsh 2 for 25, and yet Ravi Ashwin is sitting there walking in at 3 making a 50. I mean, the match ended well for Delhi, but that's not acceptable. That's not just good enough, right, for the Delhi bowlers?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, let's talk about that Ashwin debate. I've had a few discussions recently and it's been tough to explain this to people, but your best batsmen need to face the most balls. Now, that is the most traditional way of thinking.
Correct.
However, when you've got people like Parag, and Hetmyer didn't play in this game, but when you've got people like that, suddenly you're thinking they just need 5 or 7 balls, right, to make an impact. So if we bring them in too early, are we risking them getting out and not having enough balls at the end? Or I don't know. It's just such a complicated theory. It worked for them on this occasion. It hasn't worked on other occasions. We've seen this being tried with Sunil Narayan. And overall, I would say, yes, one odd match in the season, it works. But generally, it doesn't. I think in the RR context, you've got Sanju Samson sitting to wait and bat at three. And then you're playing him at five. That, to me, is ludicrous. Like, you cannot do that.
And it has worked for them, I guess, a little. But even still, even without the Ashwin experiment, he's still playing at four. With Parikal coming in at three. So it's just a very, very interesting strategy change. Right, but great chase by Delhi. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say great chase by Delhi. I think two things to call out. One is Warner, man, he's so self-aware of his game. I think Ponting and him have just had a chat and they've just been like, doesn't matter what the power play score is, just don't get out because this team depends on you. So the self-awareness of his own skill level and what his strengths and weaknesses are, to me, kind of shows that he's at the top of his game. And then he's got a young bloke, Mitch Marsh, next to him, who bats with him at number three for Australia as well. And he's just guiding him along. Mitch Marsh played a beautiful innings. He hit 89 of 62. And it was just game-changing, right? He's taken two wickets. He's hit 89. I mean, we've always said this, at least from a Delhi perspective, that we need Mitch Marsh and Rovman Powell to peak at the right time. Mitch Marsh has done that one big game. I'm looking forward to Powell now, maybe tonight or on the weekend.
Yeah, it's got to happen. It's due. I think the one interesting thing I'll say about Warner is he started the season a little late, right, because of his international commitments. If you look at the top 15 run scorers in the Orange Cap table, he has played three fewer matches than almost all of them, right? Everybody else has played 12 to 13. He's played only 10, and he's third on that list, right? Joss Butler's first in the 627, far ahead of anybody else. KL Rahul second at 469. David Warner's third at 427. So three fewer matches, and he's made almost as many runs as Rahul, more than Huda, more than Dhawan, more than Gill, more than Pfaff, more than Livingstone. Just, he's been a rock star for Delhi this year.
Yeah, it's just consistent. How much did you say he's got? How many runs?
420 out in 10 games, 420.
Yeah, so if you think about it, he's basically made above 40 in every game, and that's exactly what we remember him as, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He just makes above 40 in every game.
Absolutely. So, Varun, we're speeding through this, but lots of good. I just always enjoyed remembering the week when we lived through them. So it's great, but we're going to take a really quick break. We will be right back after this to talk the next five games and a quick update on our fantasy league. So don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wondered where the business world is headed? How the ways in which we create, market, and sell to consumers will evolve? Or if we'll ever go back to wearing pants while working? For answers to all of this and more, tune into Advertising is Dead with me, Varun Dugirala. Every Tuesday, as I talk to entrepreneurs, leaders, and change makers from across business, media, marketing, and beyond, you can catch all episodes of Advertising is Dead on the IBM Podcast website, app, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome back to the Edges and Sledges Cricket Podcast. We are doing a deep dive into the 10 games that happened since we last recorded. And gosh, we talked about Delhi, Rajasthan and two teams fighting for a playoff spot. And then from there, we went back to the Wankhede and had to see one of the poorest matches I have seen in a long time. And I'm sorry to say that.
El Crapico.
I mean, Mumbai versus CSK, even the first time they met this season, it ended up being a last ball finish or like a last over finish where it shouldn't have been. And now you're sitting here. Gosh, it was just horrendous, right? Now you're sitting
here. It's horrendous. Like watching MS Dhoni push a full toss for a single and stuff. It's just horrible.
CSK makes 97 all out. Like first four batsmen win single digit scores. Dhoni ends up 36 of 33, just about a run a ball, not out because nobody stayed around him to support. 97 dead. I think your surest sign, and again, no disrespect to anybody, but your surest sign you're having a bad season is when Daniel Sams picks up 3 for 16 and wins you the match, right? Like that's just not a great sign.
And 97 means that Rohit and Ishan should have basically said, let's just bat at three runs and over and win this by 10 wickets.
But what happened instead? Rohit makes 18 and gets out. Ishan gets out for 6. Daniel Sams walks in at 3. Also gets out for 1. Tristan Stubbs gets to play, which is a whole different discussion I have to have. Like if you're rotating the order, bring back DeWalt Brevis, right? Baby. Why did you bring it? Tristan Stubbs makes a duck. And then Hrithik Shaukeen makes a sizable contribution. But basically, the match is finished by yet again that guy Tilak Varma, who's been the only standout player for Mumbai with the bat this year, and Tim David, who came back. Just like they got there, but man, to chase 97 and then get five down in the chase, it's just unreal. It was just so poor.
It just sums up their season. I mean, that was a game that nobody wanted to watch, and it was just horrendous.
Yeah. So we approached the weekend then, going into Friday's game, which was, again, very, very exciting and very important for the table and the standings.
And if you remember, I messaged you on Monday saying, if RR and RCB win, the rest of the tournament is irrelevant.
Right. And Delhi beat Rajasthan. So that was part one. And of course, as we approached Friday, RCB lost as well. So both the stats both the matches didn't materialize, because it would have been very unusual and interesting for the IPL to have 8 or 9 days of league matches with the final four decided already. So from viewership standpoint, very exciting. But this was a phenomenal, phenomenal setup by Punjab, right? We've seen some teams just seem to have this knack to bat first and win. And boy, Punjab pulled that off today. Couple of highlights, right? One, Johnny Bairstow. So similar to what Samson has done by going down to four, Mayank seems like he is being a captain who sacrifices his position in the batting order to give it to Bairstow, or then Rajapaksa coming in three, Livingston at four. So he's just not playing in his normal spot.
Yeah.
And he's struggling for it.
And it's nobody's fault, right? As the captain, you feel like you have to do this. But we've always spoken about, like, when you think of Team India, that Rohit, Rahul, Dhawan, and Kohli all play a similar role. And in some games, all four of them are playing. In this case, you really just can't help but think that either Dhawan or Mayank should have opened, and that's it, right? Because you're Jitesh Sharma, you're Livingston, Rajapaksa, these guys are all doing really well. So it just feels like Mayank is in the 11, but he's just got no idea what to do.
Yeah, very lost. And it's again unfortunate, right? He's the skipper, but he didn't have a say in the decisions at the auction table. So suddenly they've gotten a top order, a heavy bag in the lineup, and he's stuck with it. But full credit to Bairstow, finally found some form, made 66. Livingston made 70. Shout out to Harshal for his four wickets. He's been blown hot and cold with the ball, but this was great to see. And yeah, RCB just couldn't get there. Virat again didn't get off to a good start, made 20 off just 14. Maxwell had showed some fireworks, but again, doesn't seem to be in the position where he is reliable enough to anchor a chase. He's going to go out there, play his game, hit some boundaries and get out. And yeah, three wickets for Rabada, two each for Rishi, Dhawan and Rahul Chahar. And a pretty sizable 54-run win for the Punjab team. So not much else to add there. Right. As we keep going, we approach Saturday. KKR playing the Sunrisers Hyderabad. Again, an interesting kind of clash. Sunrisers have lost a couple in a row now. KKRs are kind of starting to bounce back. This was interesting, right? Again, from a fantasy standpoint, the first time of the season I've picked under Russell, so I was pretty happy with this.
And I was in the middle of a party and I changed my team in about 12 seconds. And the minute I pressed confirm, I realized I have not picked Russell.
Man.
And everyone else has. And I felt so bad about it.
I had sort of the opposite with the bowlers, where I was going to trick Umrah, I was going to pick Umrah, and then I was like, you know what? Bhuvaneshwar has historically done well against Shreyas and against the KKR team. So I went with Bhuvi. And of course, that didn't pay out. Umrah picked three wickets. But highlight was, of course, just under Russell. Made 49 off 28 balls, right? Fell short of the 50, but batted phenomenally well. And then came on with the ball, picked up three wickets, 3 for 22. And yeah, KKR got to 177. You know, Abhishek Sharma looked good, but basically with Kane Williamson, again, we haven't spent much time talking about him, but just continues to have a horrendous season. And yeah, without Rahul Tripathi making more runs or Nicholas Puran being able to bat well, Russell picking up three, Varun Chakravarti made his comeback into the side, had a pretty good outing, but Sunrisers made 123. So big win for KKR, and could be a very significant outcome for the Hyderabad team's campaign to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's so funny. Kane Williamson just hasn't been able to go at even a runner ball. Even in this team, even if his mandate was just go at a runner ball, he's not been able to do that. So that to me is a little bit shocking. A lot of the team's retentions just haven't worked. Like, for example, somebody like Kane. But the only comment I'll make is that somehow KKR have a knack of doing this in the second half of the tournament. So they've already won two out of the last two. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow they are going to end up at around the 14 or 16 point mark. Can they get to 16? I'm just checking.
Yeah, I'm just going to double check the points.
Yeah, they can only get to 14. So it's still tough for them. But I mean, I'll say kudos to them.
Yeah, good comeback. And again, they will need to get to 14 and rely on some other results to go their way in order for them to qualify. Plus, their final game of the season, which I guess is going to be against Lucknow, will need to be a big win. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, and I say that from a run rate standpoint. But yeah, pretty fascinating. I mean, Hyderabad just fell off and KKR had a bad mid-season and is starting to bounce back. So it's going to be interesting to see. And Sunrise has actually played the final game of the playoff season, of the group stage before the playoffs.
Against
Punjab. So that game could actually be, like, depending on what happens tonight, your time tomorrow, my time in the Delhi Punjab game, that could be momentous. So it'll be interesting to see. Deep breath. We've made it to Sunday.
I can do Sunday to give you a quick breather. All right. So Sunday, doubleheader day. You've got CSK versus Gujarat. This is, again, it felt like almost top of the table versus bottom of the table. Hardik Pandya and Dhoni came out smiling. I think that was the moment of the game for me. Like, they're just showing their camaraderie. You could see Pandya actually practicing the toss and Dhoni calling. So they were doing that and having a little bit of fun. But
yeah, I wasn't watching, but the buzz definite description was they were Dhoni was giggling at Hardik practicing. I was like, that sounds like a fun moment.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that was fun. But what happened is the pitch became so slow, or CSK batted on a different pitch. I don't know what it was, but Conway got out early. And then after that, they essentially just went at a runner ball. And I got messages from my friends saying, this is the most boring innings to watch. I mean, I stayed home and didn't go out because it was double-headed day. I hadn't watched the last few games to watch this game. I ended up watching Big Bang Theory or something while this game was going on because I just couldn't bear to watch it anymore. So anyway, Chennai gets out 133. Nothing to write home in terms of the bowling or the batting for that innings. And when Gujarat came out, I think Saha was just batting on a different pitch. I mean, he got to 40, 50 runs very, very quickly and then slowed down. Gill got out 18. Overall, they won the game in the 20th over, which was also shocking to me. But Ashwin, did you watch it all? Mathisha Pathirana, the new Malinga, the guy who basically rocked Gujarat because his action is exactly like Malinga. Nobody's played him before. He's very young. And I think at both his first balls of the over, he got the wickets because the guys, batsmen have never played him.
See, I didn't get to watch it, unfortunately. The early matches on Sundays are very, very early for me. So I didn't get to watch. But it sounds like, yeah, exciting young talent. Also makes you question, like, you had somebody like that in your camp. Why did you not use him earlier in the season? I know hindsight is 20/20, but gosh, exciting to see some young blood coming in.
Yeah, and I think they're probably getting ready for next season. So that's why giving everyone the opportunity. Because Dhoni came out and said, I think Bravo's not playing, Ambati's not playing, Uthuppa's not playing, and Thikshana is not playing, right? So four guys who have been pretty crucial to the tournament so far just didn't, yeah. So anyway, coming to the last game, this is Rajasthan versus Lucknow, 2-3. And it was always going to be a situation where the positions may not change at the end of the table or might get reversed. And exactly that happened. It got reversed. Rajasthan moved up to 2, like Ashwin said. RR won around 180, 178 at a Brabourne pitch. I thought they were 20 short. And so I was telling my friends that this is risky for them. They kind of got started and didn't get started. Again, I spoke about this last time. Everyone in RR who scores runs goes at around 130 to 150. And I think that is the biggest difference for them versus any other team. Even Padikkal and stuff, who came in at number 4, played only 18 balls but went at 220 strike rate. They got to 178. And then Lucknow, as we mentioned, basically when De Kock and Rahul get out, the team loses. Deepak Hooda, Krunal Pandya, Stoinis all fought, but it was just not enough. In the end, in the IPL, to lose by 24 runs is a lot, right? I mean, it's not a thrashing, but you would can say it's a very, very good victory on Rajasthan Royals side. So I think Rahul is just unfortunately like kind of destined to be that guy who either plays through and wins it for the team or is just stuck. So yeah, man. So now you have the situation as we described it, where there is no Q sign next to RR or Lucknow yet. But I think those two are going to make it. I think it's going to be pretty much a fight for one spot between, you know, Delhi, Punjab and Hyderabad.
And so what is the prediction then, right? I think it's a great summary of the games. I think disappointing for Rahul and Gant, as always. But yeah, what's the prediction? Who do you think? Again, we know Gujarat has made it.
I mean, Gujarat, RR and Lucknow, let's assume that those are the three that have made it.
Interesting. So you're saying Rajasthan or Lucknow, either of them wins, either win their game or nobody gets close to the one net run. Okay.
Yeah, because they're both positive net run. They're better than everyone below them. Yeah. So even if they lose close matches, they're still in a pretty good situation. Yeah, I forgot RCB, man. They're also on 40.
I think RCB will be interesting because they play Gujarat. And if Gujarat is going into the... And Gujarat is not only qualified, but they're guaranteed one of the first top two. So if they don't care as much or try rest some players, etc., if RCB win really big, it could change the dynamic a little. But anyway.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. It's a really tough one. I think... I've got no idea. There's no way I can predict the fourth one. And that's why the IPL is so special.
Yeah. I mean, I think something was going to happen between either Rajasthan or Lucknow, where one of them, despite looking so solid, may fall out. I think RCB will make it. Gujarat, of course, is qualified. And then I'm, of course, going to be optimistic and hope Delhi rounds out that team, the four. So that's where we are. It's been a crazy week. It's just amazing to think that we had so many ups and downs this week again, and we have a full week left. And no, like I said, I think there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams mathematically still in contention for those three spots, which is just magnificent, right? I think that is right because Sunrisers have 10, but they can still mathematically make it. So, incredible. Varun, let's take a quick moment and do a quick Fantasy League update before we wrap this week's episode. So, we have 189 teams playing. Thank you again to everybody for joining us. Among the three of us, I hate to say this, I always do, but our friend DJ is leading among the three of us. He is in third in our Edges and Studies Fan League, so good for him, actually. Like, this is the best any of us has been in the last couple of years of running it, with 20,978 points. I am almost exactly 1,000 points behind him, which is going to be, 1,200 now. It's going to be a lot to catch up.
And you've used...
But I'm in 22nd.
And have you used all three of your boosters?
No, I still haven't used my 3X booster, but that's like the useless one.
That's the worst one. Like, I used it yesterday and got Rahul out for 10, Butler out for 7.
Have you used your double?
No, I haven't used double or unlimited sub.
Yeah. So what is the strategy for unlimited subs? You're just keeping it till the end?
I think so. I haven't decided yet, to be honest.
Okay. He's keeping the cards close to his chest. As well. And then Varun, you're sitting in 33rd, but you're only like 400, 500 points behind me. So that double booster will immediately catch you up there. So, but yeah, really great. Wicket Sensation is still leading the pack with 22,024 points. So 2,500 points even ahead of DJ and still has 12 transfers left. So that feels like a very tough person to catch. And then, yeah, we have a couple other teams. One whose I'm not going to say on the air like I've avoided before. DJ is in third. Fountainhead is in fourth. And Nordic Knights round us out in fifth. So, and Cow Corner in sixth. So it's been really interesting. Good season. Varun, by the time we are here next, I'm just looking at the schedule, we will be done the group stages of the IPL.
Which and only then, feels like it's been going on since January.
Honestly, it's been so long. And we just had one in October, but it's going to be exciting. I look forward to being back here next week talking about the playoffs and hopefully talking about Delhi's chances at lifting the trophy this year. But fingers crossed. And you, listener, will already know if we lost big time to Punjab and are mathematically eliminated. So let's see how that goes. But as always, thanks for joining us. Thanks for writing in. Special shout out to one of our listeners, Arvind, who bumped into me at a bar on Thursday night this week and reached out and said hello. I think what are the odds of that happening? And it is great to see you and say hi. So I look forward to getting together at some point talking cricket. But that brings us to a wrap. As always, at One Tip One Hand on all platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and or you can email us contact@onetiponehand.com. And we will see you all next week to wrap up the dying stages of the IPL. Thank you so much.
Hello, 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 everybody. It's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On What the Hell Navya, Jaya Bachchan, Shweta Nanda, and Navya herself dish out stories from their childhood. They discuss tough love between parents and their kids. On Paisa Vaisa, Anupam talks to Baman Irani, President-elect Credai, and Chairman and MD at Rustamji. They discuss the concept of buy versus rent and how to approach buying property in 2022. On Cock and Bull, Cyrus is joined by Meghnad and comedian Shahid Shafi. They discuss their opinions on the ongoing Congress presidential elections and Prashant Kishore embarking on a padyatra. On The Life Manifesto, Zarina narrates a story that advocates that stress and emotions are not to be controlled but must be beautifully managed. And on the Filter Coffee podcast, Karthik is joined by Yashraj Akashi, senior ambassador of the TEDx program and curator of TEDx Gateway. They discuss the origin story of TED and his franchise model. Guys, go to our website, ivmpodcast.com. You can check out the merch store. Also, links to all of our social media stuff, which is at IVM Podcast. Also, do check out our YouTube channels. We have a number of channels with many of your favorite shows available as full video podcasts. Finally, we'd like to thank our sponsors this week, Volvo XC40 Recharge, Bumble, Heads Up for Tails, and HDFC Mutual Fund. Thank you so much for making this possible.
Do you often find yourself surrounded by conversations about Web3, blockchain, NFTs, DAOs? What are these terms and how do they affect our future on the internet? So many questions, but don't worry, we've got answers to all your questions. Hi, I'm Eklavya Bhattacharya, and on our show, Future Proofing, we try to decode the impact of these future technologies on various industries with experts and tech enthusiasts. Tune into new episodes coming out every Thursday on the IVM Podcast app and the website, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Working Monday to Friday glued to your chair making you feel dull? Worry not. Get your 5-minute weekly dose of travel around the world with Postcards from Nowhere. Join me every Thursday as I explore the strange, obscure, and fascinating parts of the world and bring out facets of travel you may not have thought of before. You can find us on the IVM Podcast app, website, or wherever you get your podcast from.